is North Sound 1 Friday Sports.
Hello there, good evening, how you doing? It's Gary Muircroft here, in for John Mellis tonight. We've got Dave Galloway and Andrew Shiney. Tonight we're going to talk to Derek McInnes on the back of his awards for Manager of the Month. We'll also chat to Clark Robertson. He talks to us on the back of the Scotland Under-21 win the other night, last night. And no Scottish Premiership games this weekend. It's the international break. We preview Scotland's final qualifier at home against Croatia. There's a number of Scottish second round replays this weekend as well. A number of Highland League sides involved. We'll preview that. And in rugby, we talk to Kevin Wyness ahead of Aberdeen Grammar's trip to Melrose.
This is Friday Sport on North Sound 1. The best preview of the weekend sport action across the northeast of Scotland and beyond.
So good evening to Dave Galloway. Evening, Dave.
Good evening, sir. How are you doing?
Yeah, I'm good. How are you?
Yeah, raring to go.
Andrew Shiney.
Evening, Gary. Nice to see you.
Yeah, nice to see you too. So, first things first tonight, we start with the Dons. We're going to be previewing, obviously, the big Scotland match on Tuesday. But we start with the Dons. Derek McInnes has been named the Scottish Premiership Manager of the Month of September, and we caught up with him.
Surprised, wasn't even aware that the award was coming round and hadn't even gave it a second thought. So obviously when you look back, it was a decent September for us, and delighted to obviously be here. It's better to get it than not, and I think it's always a reflection in how the team's done in that month, and hopefully we can show that level of consistency over the months ahead.
There's also recognition that things are going in the right direction. You feel that?
Well, I think so, aye. But you know, I think there's we've made a decent start, and I think that we are trying to get that consistency that gives us an even better opportunity to maximise what we've got. Well, there's still last couple of performances, I think there's been a bit of frustration, because although we haven't played at our best, we've only picked up 1 point from it, and so there's still areas of the team that we feel as though we need to try and keep working to get that improvement. And but I think all in all, it's been a decent start. We've got two games left, and that means we've played everybody in the league, and we're probably where we are, where I thought we might be at the minute, but we've still got points to win from those two games to make it a decent first quarter for us.
Overall though, is the plan you had in place, is it where you want to be at the moment, or do you think?
I think you're always looking for a bit more, but there's been a lot of the performances individually, and a good few team performances within that, and what we have got is, you know, we'll never be outworked or outfought. I'm confident enough to say that. I feel as though the players are really honest and given, and everything that a supporter would expect from the team, and I think we've got a good bond at the minute going on with the support and the players. I think there's, yes, they share the same frustrations as we all do when we don't win, but I think there's a recognition there that the fans have really getting behind the team, and the players are doing all we can to represent them well, and hopefully we can have better days and plenty of them ahead of us.
Has anything surprised you at the club at all, Derek? I'm thinking in particular with the younger players, or did you always feel they were able to step up to their mark?
No, I think you always, we knew that the younger ones would have to step up this season and get their opportunity. We probably didn't anticipate, you know, them all being involved with so many at any given time, and that's been pleasing, you know, that, you know, certain boys have really stepped in and not only just held their own, but they've really had, you know, been top performances from them, and that's encouraging. They'll now, having had a real taste of that, they'll want to work even harder to stay part of it, and that's good. And it also lets the senior players in the squad realise that, you know, even if they didn't know that already, that they're going to have to play well just to get in the team. So that's the good thing, is we've managed to still pick up results in September when there's been a lot of injuries hanging about the place.
That was Red TV's Mal Panton catching up with Derek McInnes. Now, you guys were there in Dingwall for the last match. It wasn't a win, it was a defeat against Ross County, taking the shine off the Manager of the Month.
I don't think so, no, because manager of the month isn't given just for one game, Gary. And yeah, it was a poor performance. Everybody knows that. We just never got going. It was just one of those days when the team was not firing on all cylinders. We've not done that for the last couple of games, also in the St Mirren game. Yeah, we did well to fight back to draw 1-1, but wasn't a great performance by any standards. However, over the piece, looking at the big picture, I think it's fair to say that the football that Aberdeen are playing is a lot better. It's quick, pacey, punchy. The formations that Derek McInnes is setting out, very attack-minded, very pleasing on the eye. And you've only got to look at the crowds that are following Aberdeen home and away. Great crowds away from home. And even at home, I think our average attendance is something like 4,000 up. So it's looking good.
Good.
Yeah, it's been. The award is for September, and of course, last week's game was in October, so it didn't count. Yeah. And the performances throughout September, you know, the win down at Falkirk, a potentially very difficult League Cup tie. Mm-hmm. They went down there, blitzed Falkirk out of existence. They beat the league leaders, the then unbeaten league leaders, Inverness, Cali, Thistle. Yeah. There were lots of high points in September, but. What I like most about Derek McInnes is the fact that he never gets too up and he never gets too down. He knows that it's a work in progress, Aberdeen, at the moment. That he's had to use a lot of younger players, as he mentioned there, speaking to Mal, because of injuries. But I think, you know, there's a number of key players on their way back. Barry Robson should be back to play against Dundee United. Willow Flood is back. Niall McGinn tonight is on the bench for Northern Ireland and Azerbaijan, so hopefully he's not going to come back as he did after the last international mm-hmm. break with an ankle injury that rules him out for 3 weeks, because, you know, he hasn't scored a goal in open play so far this season. All his goals have come from the penalty spot, so
correct.
There's a lot still to come from Niall McGinn, so there's a lot of positives as we look forward. And I think, Dave, you're right in saying that you know, the fans are behind him to the extent that the club are actually thinking of opening a portion of the upper deck of the RDS for the Dundee United game.
Which is amazing, isn't
it? Which is great, because it means that, you know, the support is behind them, and the bigger the home support, the more it's going to lift the players and hopefully generate more enthusiasm that it transfers out onto the park, which is shown in better results. So there's a lot of good. It was unfortunate last week.
Yeah.
I mean, they had 15 corners, but they didn't manage to create anything mm-hmm. out of the corners. Now, there'll be other days where we'll get one corner and we'll score 3 or 4 goals.
Yeah.
It was a bad day at the office. It was a bad week at the office, in all honesty, because the St Mirren game was pretty horrendous as well, but they got something out of that. So they've now got a chance to recharge the batteries, get going again, and take it to Dundee United a week tomorrow.
Over 2,000 people travelled to Dingwall, which was astonishing. How many fans do you reckon Dave's going to turn up at Tannadice a week tomorrow?
It's at Pittodrie.
I don't think anybody's going to go to Tannadice.
I think
I predict none.
I certainly think that, you know, I mean, we usually get a good crowd at Pittodrie for Aberdeen Dundee United, don't we? I mean, I can see, I don't know, about 15,000-16,000 or so.
Yeah, I would hope 14 plus, certainly. Mm-hmm. United are not renowned for bringing a big travelling support with them, but they're going quite well. They've got a lot of youngsters on their side. They're mm-hmm. getting a bit excited about what's happening down there under Jackie McNamara.
They're playing some good stuff as well.
They are, United. Yeah. So it's a game to look forward to.
Yeah, I'm looking so forward to it that I'm already in New Year.
You were looking forward to New Year's Day, weren't you?
I'm thinking about the game at Tannadice on New Year's Day.
We'll take about 4,000 or 5,000 down on that occasion.
Let's just deal with this week, I think. Aberdeen this season, what's the big difference, you think, to where they were this time last season?
I think just Derek McInnes's stamp now being on the side. They play a faster brand of football. We saw that in particular really from my first realisation that they were playing so much faster and with more purpose was against 20 Enschede,
right,
when they beat the Dutch side 2-0. Now, that's a Dutch side that's now top of the first division in Holland, the Eredivisie there. They're ahead of Ajax, Feyenoord, all these great sides that we've heard of from Holland. 20 are actually top of that league, and Aberdeen beat them quite comfortably. And it was interesting to note that I was looking at the goal scorers from the Dutch 6-0 win against Georgia in under-21s. Mm. Five of the goals came from 20 Enschede players. And they couldn't score against Aberdeen. So, you know, I think they play with a much greater sense of purpose now than they did. And that's because you've got experienced heads like Willow Flood and Barry Robson in there. I think Robson has been a big miss. It's been masked to a large extent, although what we could have done with a Barry Robson on Saturday up at Dingwall there, because he's a master at putting a ball in a sixpence with that wand of a left foot that he's got. And I'm convinced that if the Dons had 15 corners taken by Barry Robson, they would have created at least half a dozen chances out of that. That allied to, you know, the coming of age of Cammy Smith, of any of the young players that have come in there, Joe Shaughnessy getting better and better, Mark Reynolds playing some of the best football of his career.
Outstanding.
Jamie Langfield being solid at the back. You know, there's a good spine to the Aberdeen side now. And I think there's a much greater sense of optimism around the club and togetherness around the club than there has been for a number of years.
Really? I've always found it to be very optimistic, I must admit. But I suppose
there's a base now for the optimism, Gary.
So they're seeing it on the park. You say it's a bit quicker. The formation, Dave, you mentioned.
Yeah.
So that they're looking together and they're working together as a team, which is
great. The thing is that the way the fans feel now, you know, we're realistic. We're more realistic now as a Red Army, if you like, because you know we're not expecting the team to win the league or win a European trophy or whatever, but you know, I think the expectations are realistic. A European place each season and regular cup finals, and that's not too much to ask.
Okay, we are going to talk about Scotland next. First of all, we're going to talk about the Scottish under-21s. Great result for them last night. And we're going to preview Tuesday night's match, of course, for Scotland against Croatia.
North Sound 1 with the best preview of the weekend sports action from across the northeast of Scotland and beyond.
Let's hear from Clark Robertson now, the Dons defender and teammate Ryan Jack had away with Scotland's under-21s. A fine 2-1 win over Slovakia last night in the Euro qualifier, with Georgia to come on Monday night. Robertson's taking some time out to talk to us about Aberdeen's season so far.
I think we have been playing well, apart from the Sitmarin and Ross County games. And I think this two-week break might do us some good just to get a wee bit of rest and allow Barry Robson and Willow Flood to come back in the team. And there's competition for places all over the team. I think that's going to bring out the best in us, I guess.
Yeah, absolutely. As the gaffer said at the weekend, it's, you know, it's a work in progress. It's, you know, it's never going to be a totally smooth journey, is it?
No, exactly. You're going to get that games like the Ross County game throughout the season. I think the manager's building a team here that's going to be able to challenge for stuff, and hopefully we can get a good cup run this season as well and see where it takes us.
Yeah, that would be absolutely wonderful for all the Aberdeen fans. You mentioned Barry Robson there. It's hopeful that he could return to training next week. How important could Barry's influence and the other more experienced players be on the youngsters?
Yeah, definitely. I think we maybe in the last two games we have missed a wee bit of experience, and the games have caught up on the young ones. But I think if we get Barry Robson and Willow Flood back to the team, like, the young ones look up to them because they played at the highest level. So it can only be a good thing for our young ones playing around experienced boys that played in the Champions League and all that.
Just a quick one on your own club form. Yeah. How do you feel about the way things are going for yourself?
Yeah, we're a wee bit disappointed not to have played more than I have, but I guess that's the bonus of having a strong squad. The manager's got a few headaches, which are a good thing, I guess. And I think having competition for the left-back spot will only bring out the best of me. It's about being patient and waiting my chance. And I think when I came on Saturday, I thought I did well. So hopefully that sticks in the manager's head and can change his mind.
A lot of optimism there.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, he's realistic about it, and it's obviously a strong squad, and he sounds part of this teamwork that you're talking about. Yeah,
he knows, Clark, that he's going to have to fight to get a regular place in the team. He's kind of been in and out of the side. I mean, Aberdeen obviously have a number of options, and I think it's fair to say Mark Reynolds has been excellent when he's been asked to fill in at left back, hasn't he?
He has, but Clark's right. I mean, when he came on Saturday, he's one of those left backs that you know, he's better going forward than he is defending, unfortunately. But first and foremost, you've got to be a defender when you're a left back. He's still prone to make the odd error, but he's still only, what, 20-year-old?
Yeah.
But I noticed, I saw brief highlights of the 21s win yeah. down at St Mirren Park last night, and it was Clark Robertson who got forward to create the first goal for Armstrong from Dundee United. So he'll have benefited from that. And, you know, getting away with the under-21s is good for these lads because they're getting the opportunity to play against different styles of football from different parts of Europe. OK, you've got a lot of travelling involved and stuff like that. And I mean, Clark was saying, you know, it would be fine that the fortnight's break will give guys a chance to recharge their batteries. He's not going to have much chance to do that because he's got two games to play in the intervening period. But it's good to hear that he's being realistic.
Yeah.
And, you know, he is still a youngster in comparative terms. Although he's been around the first team squad for quite a long time at Pittodrie, but it's significant though, as you mentioned, Gary. You know, this togetherness.
Yeah.
There's a bond there between all the players, not just the young guys, but the young guys and the older ones all together, which is really good to see because you saw that on the park at St Mirren, where it looked for all the world like it was going to be a wasted journey to Paisley, and then Peter Pollock pops up with a goal.
Yeah.
So they got something out of it, at least.
Yeah, that wasn't happening last season, was it?
It wasn't. No, it hasn't happened for a number of years. It was one of those games that you thought in the past, you know, you go there, you get a knock, and you just think, oh, well, let's just, you know, let's head for home because
the tools
we're not
going to
get anything.
Yep, yep.
But there's a spirit amongst them now that perhaps hasn't been there in the past for whatever reason, whether it's the personnel or whether it's the manager and his way of doing things, I don't know. But there's a good spirit there which can only be good for the future of the club.
The Scots under-21s, currently third in Group 3, level with Slovakia and 3 points behind leaders Holland. They're doing well.
They are doing well. I mean, that was a good win against Slovakia. They're no mugs. They're now away to Georgia, who, as I mentioned, you know, got beaten 6-0 at home from Holland. Everybody thought, you know, Scotland getting beat 4-0 from Holland, what a disaster. But that's a very, very strong Dutch under-21 side. I mean, they're capable of, you know, they've shown that by going to Georgia and scoring six.
Yeah.
So Scotland will travel with confidence high on the back of this result and feeling that they can still get something out of this group, they can qualify. So let's hope that they do well, but the Aberdeen boys come back unscathed. That's the most important thing.
Absolutely. I'm very pleased as well for the under-21 manager, Billy Stark. I think he's doing a really good job, and I felt his pain when we had the 6-0 defeat in the friendly to England, the 4-0 defeat in the Euro qualifier to Holland, which was a flattering score for all accounts for Holland because Scotland could have been a couple of goals ahead by half time. We didn't take our chances. At that level, you get punished if you don't take your chances and you're playing against a quality side. But really good to see us bounce back. So there's real hope for the future.
Yeah, indeed. If they get a win on Monday night, it's going to look very, very promising heading forward. All right, we're going to talk about Scotland's game on Tuesday night. That's on the way. This is Friday Sport. It's Gary Muircroft, Dave Galloway, Andrew Shiney. We're here till 7 o'clock tonight. This is Friday Sport.
North Sun 1, the official station of the Dons. Keeping you up to date with the latest from Pittodrie. This is Friday Sport.
And this is Gary Muircroft in for John Mellis this week. They brought me off the bench for 1 week only. So Scotland are preparing for their final World Cup qualifier with a home game against Croatia. We caught up with former Aberdeen boss and Scotland manager Craig Brown.
The goodwill towards the team from the Tartan Army is quite tangible now. You know, everyone you meet saying Scotland are doing well. And you know, I go down to England once or twice now, and I've got a place in Preston still, and I meet folk down there, and they're all saying, oh, Scotland doing well. You know, and it's not a patronising statement, it's a genuine statement. They feel that the Scottish team is on the up and up now. I still think that we have to confirm that with, you know, a good result against Croatia. And, of course, the main objective is to start the next campaign positively. And I do hope that, you know, the fixture scheduling is a bit more favourable next time.
Next Tuesday night then at Hampden Craig, what sort of a game can we expect?
Well, I think we'll see a good team playing against us. I just don't know what sort of level of player they will include. But I think they're a proud side. and they'll want to finish top of the group comfortably. And, you know, therefore, I think the Croatian side will be up for the challenge. They won't underestimate Scotland. They might have a year ago, but not now. So therefore, we should get a good fixture and hopefully a good turnout from the Tartan Army, because the support has been very loyal, very, in fact, almost incredible at times in view of what we've had to endure. So I just do hope that the fans turn out and the players respond appropriately.
Do you think the lads can take heart from the fact that we beat Croatia away not so long ago?
Yes, but that obviously will motivate the opposition. They won't want to lose twice to Scotland. But it would be great to beat Croatia twice, which would, you know, that would put down a marker and set a standard, which is a very high standard, actually, to beat a team as highly scheduled in the FIFA ranking as they are. So they won't want to lose again. But you just wonder about the mentality if they're involved, as many of them are, at club level in the Champions League and in the Europa Cup. You know, their minds might not be totally on the job, and that'll be to our benefit.
So Scotland getting rebuilt at the moment by Gordon Strachan. How do you guys reckon it's going under Strachan?
It's going so far so good, I think. The fact that we won in Croatia, yeah, and we won in Macedonia, that's a major step forward from where we were a year ago. Still, like Aberdeen, it's very much a work in progress. And I think by the end of this qualification campaign, there may be one or two of the older brigade, shall we say, that will be put out to pasture, and hopefully there'll be guys from the under-21s that'll be pushing hard for inclusion in the squad that Gordon Strachan's going to have to build for the next qualifying campaign. But, you know, I think it's been a long, hard road, and unfortunately, we don't have the wealth of talent that we had maybe 30 years ago, where, you know, you had so many good midfield players. You had a choice of Strachan, Souness, Jim Bett, Paul McStay, all playmakers. You couldn't play all four together because all four wanted to run the show.
Yep.
Now we're struggling to find somebody that wants to run the show, sort of thing.
Yep.
But we're moving in the right direction, I would say. That's the important thing. As long as you see something there, a light at the end of the tunnel that you can attach some optimism to, great.
Yeah, I think Scotland as a national team was in a very dark place when Gordon Strachan took over. Craig Levein was an absolute disaster as manager, and Gordon Strachan has done very well. He's put a bit more fire into people's bellies, and just speaking to Scotland fans, you can tell there's a bit more optimism, there's a bit more to look forward to. We knew ages ago that this current World Cup campaign was going to have to be written off, but there's still plenty to play for. We're going and planning towards Euro 2016 now, and I think with the steps that we're taking under Gordon Strachan, I think I'm cautiously optimistic.
Well, it's not embarrassing anymore, let's be honest. We're not turning up, we're not playing any forwards.
No, well, I mean, yeah, that was ridiculous. I mean,
it was ridiculous.
Spain can maybe get away with it, but we can't, because they've got guys in midfield that are comfortable going forward and scoring 30 goals a season.
Aye.
But as I say, there's grounds for optimism.
Yeah. What's changed over the past 20 years? 30 years.
Well, I mean, unfortunately, there's a whole generation who have not experienced the joy of being able to follow Scotland at a major championship.
Yep.
Now, people of my age, you know, it was a massive thing to get there initially back in 1974, was it? That was the first World Cup that I can remember Scotland qualifying for. It had always been, you know, the nearly men, but we got there, and then of course we were the only side that didn't get beat, but we didn't get through the first round of games.
Yeah.
And we've invented different ways of managing to fail to get out of the first section of virtually everything.
Yep.
At least we were getting there.
Yeah.
And now, as I say, there's an entire generation
I've never felt that.
And it's a great thing for bringing the nation together.
Yeah.
And, you know, okay, we're not like the English. We don't go in there and go, right, we're England, throw the jerseys in the park and we've won the World Cup. Or, you know, as you mentioned before we came on air, it's 99 days to go till the World Cup, and if everything goes to plan, we'll be playing blah, blah, blah in the semi-finals. Sorry, you've got to get there first.
Yeah, you've got to qualify first.
Well, that's right. But no, I would love to see Scotland do well in a major championship again. And with the change that there's going to be to the European Championships over the coming years, that might be an opportunity for Scotland. But we've got to get a decent squad together, get a good solid spine there, and, you know, play some decent football. Because if you do it, as Craig Brown said, you know, there's already a Tartan army who are desperate to back Scotland.
It's also about bringing these players through as well, isn't it, at club level? And
well, there's that as well.
Yes. I mean, that's part of the jigsaw.
There's this difficulty now that there's so many foreign players playing in British football. There was a thing down in England this last week saying that 27%, was it, of the minutes played in the English Premier League are played by English players.
Really?
Yeah. In Scotland, it's a much higher percentage, but there's still blocks in the way of young Scots getting to the very top through club football.
Yeah.
So you would hope that's going to change. It is changing in Scotland without question because of the financial situation that we're in. You can't afford to go out and splash money around like was done in the past, particularly by the Old Firm, but also by clubs like Aberdeen. They spent a lot of money bringing in foreign players. It didn't work. Now it's very heartening to see that last Saturday there was about half a dozen, seven, eight of the kids that had come through the ranks at Pittodrie from the age of probably about 10 were featuring in the first team squad, and that's the way forward.
Yeah, definitely.
Alan Duncan, he chairs the North of Scotland Tartan Army. He's praising Gordon Strachan for the impact he's made since taking over the Scotland hot seat.
What Gordon's doing and has done so far is what Walter Smith did and Alec McLeish did as well, and he's introducing new players as well, which is encouraging. It's good to see players with a bit more hunger and a bit of passion, guys who want to play, want to be involved. For myself and the rest of the Tartan Army, it's good to see, it's good to be involved in this. And well done to Gordon, and onwards and upwards for him.
One of the players who's really impressed everybody's been like a breath of fresh air, Akechi Anya.
This guy just looks great. You know, okay, it's only been a couple of games, but from what we've seen, this guy's a star, and he could be with us for quite some time. And you know, he looks good. He looks eager. He is a complete breath of fresh air. And it looks to me like his enthusiasm and his positivity is rubbing off on others, and the fans have just taken to him completely. And we need these guys. We need these sort of heroes, as we call them, or whatever. I mean, James McFadden was one who could turn the game around with one touch, and this guy looks to be in the same mould. So it's great that we're able to find these guys and get them playing. So really encouraging.
What can we expect from Croatia on Tuesday?
I think, as always, they're a top team. They'll give us a tough game, but we went to Zagreb and we beat them. And with the way that results have gone recently for us, I don't see any reason why we can't take some from them again. I mean, I know it's over for us, but they'll come here and give us a game. They'll be keen to finish off with a result. But for us, as I say, it's about pride, it's about points, ranking points, and it'll be tough. But I'm sure that, you know, looking ahead, players will be eager to impress, so we should be in for a good game.
Scotland taking on Croatia on Tuesday night. In Group A, Croatia playing Belgium right now. It kicked off at 5 o'clock. It's 2-0 to Belgium, Dave.
2-0 to Belgium. Romelu Lukaku, what a player he's been this season. 2 goals to him.
And Wales are at home to Macedonia. And in Group F, Niall McGinn is in action, and he is on the park.
Yeah, he's come on as a substitute, Gary, against Azerbaijan. And I think Northern Ireland certainly need him, because it's 1-0 to Azerbaijan at the moment, at 5 o'clock kickoff, of course. Let's hope he's not injured.
Indeed.
Yeah, stay fit.
Wrap him in cotton wool.
Let's hope he bangs a ball in the back of the net as well.
Yes,
from open play. That
yes,
would be good.
Yes. That'd be nice.
It's a big night for England as well. Tonight they're home to Montenegro in Group H. How do you see that one going?
Well, I mean, I think England will win, but they've never managed to beat Montenegro before. You know, the big teams, the teams at the top of that particular group, England haven't managed to beat any of them as yet. England will qualify if they win tonight and Poland win in Ukraine. They'd face a playoff if they fail to win and Ukraine beat Poland. If they fail to win or if they lose and Ukraine win, they could be out of it altogether. So it's a massive game for England. There's a lot of anxiety, I think, down south because of the fact that England have failed to deliver so often. They usually do okay in qualifying, but now it's push come to shove. Folk are starting to get a wee bit edgy. How are they going to play? Is it going to be Gerrard and Lampard sitting with four players forward? How are they going to play? Is Joe Hart going to have a howler again? Mm. He's had so many of them recently, but Roy Hodgson wants to stand by him. That if that sort of anxiety transfers to the players, I mean, Roy Hodgson saying no, there's been no word of anxiety, fear, stress whatsoever in the camp, but there must be. They wouldn't be human if there wasn't a level of that. It depends on how Montenegro play, but they're still in it, that's the thing. And then England play Poland on Tuesday night while Ukraine go to San Marino, which is like playing against 11 dustbins, basically, because, you know, if you can't score there, although Scotland, I think, only once won 1-0 out there, and Montenegro play Moldova. So you would anticipate that Montenegro and Ukraine are going to win their games on Tuesday. So this is massive for England tonight, but I think they'll just be too strong for the Montenegrins this time. Mm. But the longer it goes that they're not winning, then the anxieties of the crowd are going to transfer to the players, and it could be a long, tortuous night for them.
Yeah, it's such a tight Group H. England top 16 points, Ukraine 15, Montenegro 15, even Poland are in the running on 13 points. That is a really, really tight group. So there could be a few twists and turns to come.
Yeah, there'll be a lot of nervous people down south, and of course, people in our area who are big England fans.
Yes.
You guys will be sitting down with your England shirts on tonight.
I won't have an England shirt because I've never owned one and never will. But, you know, I think a lot of Scots, in a perverse sort of way, will be hoping that England do get to Brazil so that we'll have all these months of build-up as to how they're going to win the World Cup, and then they'll come an almighty cropper when they get out there.
I must admit, I'm probably one of the few people that does support England when they actually... One of the few Scots that will quite happily say that will support England when they go there, because we just don't get the opportunity to support Scotland anymore, so we might as well keep it British, if you like. Talking about keeping it British, Republic of Ireland have a Group C encounter against Germany. That's a tall ask, isn't it?
Huge, huge task for them. I mean, Germany, of all the sides that are qualifying for the World Cup over in Brazil, and bearing in mind that no European side's ever won a World Cup in South American soil, I would think Brazil, Germany, showing my age.
Showing your age.
Let's go back a bit.
Germany must have as good a chance as any, possibly alongside Spain, of changing that history. Germany are a very, very good side, and I don't see the Irish having much of a chance tonight.
Anthony Stokes, by the way, starts for Ireland this evening.
Okay, we're going to turn our programme to domestic action. We're going to be talking about Peterhead, and that's on the way next. This is Friday Sport.
Sun One, keeping you up to date with the latest from Pittodrie, Balmore, and across the Highland League. This is Friday Sports.
Good evening, this is Friday Sport. It's Gary Muircroft, Dave Galloway, and Andrew Shiney here till 7 o'clock tonight, turning the spotlight on this weekend's domestic action. And it's been an inconsistent start to the season so far for Peterhead. The favourites to win League Two were dumped out of the Scottish Cup at Berwick last weekend. Tomorrow, it's back to your bread and butter with a visit by Clyde. And boss Jim McInally says his men will need to raise their game.
Clyde are a really well organised team. They haven't changed too much for last year. They were always close games last year. And I just expect much the same this year. I know how good Jim Duffy is at organising his teams. You know, they'll try and frustrate us, but by the same token, if you get a couple of sharp forwards that can catch you out. So we need to make sure that we just pick it up a wee bit and try and do our best to, you know, defend as a team and no give away soft goals as we've done, because again on Saturday, you know, the first goal, the boys, it's a good individual goal, but you know, I think a couple of our players are beaten too easily, and then as I say, the second goal comes through our corner kick, and if it means not putting as many guys in the box, then that's what we'll need to do to make sure that we don't get caught out with, you know, with counter-attacks, because that's certainly been the bane of our season so far, as teams counter-attacking us, so we just need to be wary of that.
So guys, it's really important that Peterhead get a win tomorrow, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, they've played a lot of good football this season, Gary, but the problem is they've been shooting themselves in the foot, you know, pouring too many men into the box, trying to win a game, for instance, and then a simple ball over the top, they get caught on the break. You know, Jim McAnally told me that, you know, they're going to have to work on that, you know, and because the pressing the self-destruct button seems to be undoing a lot of the good work that they're putting in.
And he's a very honest manager, isn't he, Andy?
He is indeed. I mean, their biggest problem this season is they haven't kept a clean sheet. Mm. Now, if you don't keep clean sheets, you're going to struggle to win because you're having to score an awful lot of goals.
Yep.
And by trying to chase these goals, you're leaving the back door open, blah, blah, blah. So first and foremost, that's what he's going to be demanding, is a clean sheet tomorrow. But, you know, Clyde are visiting. They've got home advantage. I'm quite positive about the game. Jim, as you say, very honest manager, very experienced guy. He'll have brought all his experience to bear during the week, getting his side just spot on for this one.
Now, a number of Highland League sides are in Scottish Cup second round replay action tomorrow. Fraserburgh face Edinburgh City following a 4-4 draw in the first game. Brock have a home advantage, but boss Chris Hunter knows it'll be far from easy.
Well, they're a very decent team. They're a very dark-minded team and a lot of strength, and it's a very strong league they've got down there, and it'll be another hard game up here, and we can't take them for granted either. They've scored 4 goals against us, and there's not a lot of teams do that against us, so we need to be at our best at home. But it's on grass this time, so it'll suit our players a lot better, and we'll probably have a very big crowd as well, so hopefully they can cheer us on as well.
In other replays, Cove Rangers welcome Brora Rangers. Cove gaffer Kevin Tindall expects another close run clash.
They've already beaten us at home this year, so we know the threat that they pose, and we've just got to go and try and combat that this weekend, and anything can happen tomorrow.
Yeah, do you think it might be a long afternoon? Are you prepared for that? Are you prepared for the ultimate extra time and possibly even penalties?
It could easily go there with two good sides going against each other, so it could easily go as far as that. And if it does, then the guys are fit enough and able enough to go the distance.
And Devon Vale, they visit Linlithgow Rose. In the Highland League tomorrow then, Clackna Cudden play Rothes. Fermartin United go to Huntly. Fermartin manager Steve Parkinson says his players mustn't dwell on last weekend's cup loss to Inverurie Locals.
It will happen throughout the season. You know, we will lose games, and it's just about, just like winning's a habit, losing can become a habit in terms of, you know, you can go on a bad run, and, you know, that's obviously, having had such a bright start of the season, we don't want to spoil it now and have some indifferent results. I think for me, the main thing is to get our win on Saturday, which would, yeah, would take us top of the league, and it would then, you know, set us up nicely for the Aberdeenshire Cup final.
Nairn County, they tackle Turriff United. Strathspey Thistle welcome Bucky Thistle, and Wick Academy are at home to Forest Mechanics. To the juniors now, and Kuta take on co-manager Andy Gibson's telling his players to banish all thoughts of the forthcoming Scottish Cup tie at home to Berwick tomorrow. Hull, Russell United are in town on Super League business.
2 seasons ago, after all the hype with Partick Thistle, it definitely affected us the last time. This time, we've got a bigger squad at the moment. Okay, we've picked up a couple of injuries of late, but we'll train really hard, and the league is so important, because you don't win the league, you don't get back in the Scottish Cup, so it's a case of juggling cup ties and league, so it's so important this Saturday that we get back to the old bread and butter, as they say, and try and get 3 points.
Also in Super League action, FC Stonywood play Stonehaven. Plenty of First Division games tomorrow as well. Bridge of Don Thistle hosts Sunnybank. Buckenhaven Hearts welcome Newmarket United. Colony Park take on Fraserburgh United. Lewis United tackle Glentana. Nairn, St Ninian are at home to Dufftown. Forest Thistle face Falkirkburns, and it's Inverness City versus Buckie Rovers, and Peter Gordon Victoria against White Hills. So what about predictions then, guys, for Tuesday night's clash for Scotland? What do you think?
I'll go for Scotland to win 2-1.
Scotland win 2-1?
Yeah.
I'm going to go 1-1. Andrew?
Yeah, I was going to go for the draw as well, but Croatia lost tonight. They've got nothing to play for, so come on, Scotland, go and win it. Win 2-0.
Yeah.
We always get optimistic, and we're now realistic at the fact that it's a rebuilding process, so every win for Gordon Strachan is part of that. So good luck to the Scottish guys. That has been Friday Sport tonight. Enjoy your weekend and good luck to the Scots this Tuesday.